This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to another hour of What's on Your Mind as our coronavirus Wuhan flu coverage continues. Good portion of the program today. I haven't even mentioned the Democratic debate last night. It wasn't worth seeing, trust me. It was just a punch in the gut to North Dakota, for crying out loud. Anybody in the energy economy would have to cry.
Can you guess who the female VP will be?
I don't know, but yeah, that was one thing. Biden announced that he will have a female. I would guess Kamala Harris, but. Could be Amy.
Not Hillary?
Who knows?
Did it, was it me or did it look like Lennon and Mathau? Just like,
it doesn't really
like
matter.
From grumpy old men.
Todd's laughing now. Todd's laughing on a day we're not. What did we say? Call Todd Graff.
No.
You can text him at 226-8503.
Not about
right.
Corona.
Our next
grumpy
guest
old
is
men. That was a great reference. That was a great line on Kevin's part.
Yeah, we actually have that from a couple listeners today. I haven't even got a chance to get to them. But anyway, Governor Burgum is here to talk a little bit about the latest North Dakota's response to the coronavirus. Governor, thanks for taking the time. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
So I want to talk a little bit about just you talked last night at the press conference when announcing the schools about, you know, getting more data together and getting more things. And I know you've pioneered really how to use the data in the management of businesses. What tell us a little bit about what you're trying to get in the way of data to get a sense of the numbers around the situation right now. What don't you have in the way of data that you'd like to have?
Well, the first place is we would like to have more tests done in North Dakota. I mean, we were excited yesterday that we had 11 tests. They all came back negative. So we're up to 111 tests of North Dakotans. And those were people that were showing symptoms and were feeling sick. I mean, they've been, you know, possibly already screened for influenza A. They were sick. They got tested. So this just wasn't somebody that said, hey, I got a cold. These were people that were actually not feeling well. And I guess now the number's up today, 124 tests. And you know, we've only had one of those come back positive, and that was a gentleman, from Ward County, mid-60s, who had been traveling, and he knew that he'd been in contact with someone else who tested positive. So he's resting at home comfortably. Symptoms are mild. We have no other cases so far, but we're doing testing every day. But we know that the data that's coming out of that from all the other states, the other countries, is the tests are lagging. Someone might have, you know, been exposed to it 5 days or 10 days ago before they test positive. We're trying to get ahead of the curve, so to speak, because what we're really trying to do here is, with the school closures, is reduce contact. The new word we're all learning is social distancing, but reduce the spread of a highly infectious virus that does have higher mortality than the flu for our elderly and or people with advanced or severe or chronic respiratory illnesses. And so that's the group we're trying to protect. And if you have a spread that starts spreading through a community, and then you get the doubling, the exponential, because what's happened, if you look at the data in other places, you know, you go from, you know, hey, we've only got one case, then we got two, but all of a sudden you got 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1,024. And, so then in 7 or 8 days of that doubling, you end up in a situation where we don't have enough room in our intensive care. We don't have enough ventilators, and we don't have enough isolation areas. And that presumes that nobody in healthcare is getting sick. We've got a shortage of healthcare workers in North Dakota. And if some of those come down and get pulled out of the workforce, you know, we could create a constraint. So that's what we're trying. We're trying to look into the future without complete data, but knowing that this thing is a doubling, can create a doubling of infectious cases. And then how do we slow that? Because if you can get it to where we slow down the rate of infection and fewer people getting sick, then we will have the healthcare the people resources and the equipment to care for them in the places where they've been able to do that, then the mortality rate has come way down because this is treatable like a pneumonia or a flu. So we're trying to manage the risk for our most elderly. K-12 kids, really not at risk. This has less mortality than the flu. I mean, it's trying to reduce the sort of the, you know, the petri dish that schools are, where kids come together and, as they do every flu season, and send it home to every other family. That's what we're trying to reduce right now.
How many tests would you like to be available in North Dakota, and would you anticipate going to some, like, a drive-through test that you're talking about in other states?
Well, yes, if we could get to that, because the, doing the testing outside of medical facilities is one way to keep the infection from that. The Mayo Clinic got this up and running down in Rochester last Thursday for their first day. They've developed a rapid test that they can get back within 6 hours. They ran over 200 people through a parking lot at one of their clinics in northwestern Rochester, and some of the people that they were recommending go there was, you know, they had an employee that said, hey, I'm not sure I should come to work today because I've, you know, got a cold and a sneeze. And they said, hey, we'll go run through the drive-through testing. If you're negative, you know, take the proper precautions, but come to work. We'll keep you in the workforce. If you're positive, stay home. And that kind of ability for us to, because right now we've only been testing people with really advanced symptoms. If we had more testing capacity, and possibly the drive-through capability to be able to do that, then we could get a broader set of people tested. That would help us with our healthcare force protection, and it would help people to know, you know, take away some worry from people's lives, and would also help, I think, reduce the fear, because the more tests we do, then the, you know, we're going to, you get a bigger denominator in this. If you only test the people that are really, really, really sick, then it looks like this. The nature of this virus has got a high mortality rate. If we tested everybody, we may find out the mortality rate of this thing is a lot less fearful than what we may presume now.
When do you expect you'll have more tests to be able to ramp that up to the scale you're talking about?
Well, there's sort of three vectors. One is what we have right now from the CDC, and you can go, you know, if someone is not feeling well and they want to get a test, call your local provider, call the people you normally provide, let them know. Don't walk to a walk-in if you're sick. Don't walk into an emergency room if you're sick. Call ahead so they can make precautions. The one, in the case of the one individual that did test positive, and this has now been, I guess about 5-6 days ago, he called ahead of time and went to the facility, and they came out and did the swab in his car. And so even if there is a, quote, drive-by, if you give them a, it's just a simple thing, it's a cotton swab test, you know, nasal and mouth, then they put it in a little jar, they send it off to our state lab, and we test. We know that some of the private providers in the state, the big nonprofits in our state, are working with some of the national labs, Quest and others. And so we're knowing that we've got providers that are looking for more testing. We're getting more test kits from through the CDC, and then we're also exploring opportunities like with Mayo to see if we can get some testing help from them, because, you know, it'd be great if we could get from 100 to 1,000 pretty quickly, but, you know, that may take a week to 10 days to do that, because there's a shortage of test capacity in the whole U.S.
One thing that really convinced me that overreacting rather than underreacting was smart was this curve everybody talks about, and what happened in Italy, and where you see that if the, you know, the healthcare system is overloaded, you're really getting to the point where you have to decide who to treat, who gets a ventilator, everything else. I realize we're a long ways from that here. Do we have what we need if we did have one of those spikes? I mean, are there enough ventilators, for instance, in the state of North Dakota?
Well, this is when people ask what was the difference between, you know, our Friday night guidance on schools and our Sunday night decision to close. One of them was that we were working with the providers across the state to try to assess their level of readiness, their level of equipment, their level of pandemic planning, and we, you know, when we did the initial assessment, we came back with some concerns, and we're like, you know, hey, there may be quite a few ventilators in our state, but a lot of them are being used because of, you know, of other surgeries that are going on. So some of the other things that we talked last night, we had an hour-long phone call with medical providers, but each of them may have to decide. They may have to decide, hey, we're going to suspend elective surgery. We're going to, you know, open up new floors so that we've got more isolation rooms. We may have to repurpose and create more ICU. So there's a little bit. The hospital providers, by closing the schools and taking more precaution early on social distancing, we are also trying to buy time for our medical community to really assess. And I think we have identified that there are some pinch points relative to both personnel and equipment that we need to try to address. And then if you say you really want to err on the side of caution, you know, in the past, if there's an emergency somewhere in the U.S., if there's Katrina, you know, we got a, you know, a flood and a problem and they got healthcare shortages, the rest of the nation runs down to Katrina and we, you know, we're shipping Bobcats and we're sending emergency personnel and National Guard. We all go to Katrina and we help out that area of the country. By the time if COVID gets here and we had an exponential explosion in cases in North Dakota, that means the rest of the country would also be in a tight spot. And we can't count on the fact that somebody's going to be shipping ventilators to North Dakota if in the metro areas they're already all at capacity. So this is another reason in the decision making that we made last night about trying to proceed with extra caution, is because it's not a local or regional emergency. This is a global emergency which will constrain the supply chain for medical stuff in ways that we haven't seen before. So in that sense, it's unprecedented, so we have to take unprecedented action.
Short break. Two more quick questions, and we'll let you go. I know you got a chat with the president coming up at the bottom of the hour here, but I want to talk about decisions in other states to shutter bars and restaurants and also the oil industry. Coming up next. Don't go away.
A trusted energy partner, a leader in the Bakken. That's Hess. A global independent energy company leading the way in oil and gas exploration and production in North Dakota. Working with suppliers, landowners, communities, applying new approaches and innovative technologies for operating safely and efficiently and protecting the environment. Hess. Working hard to make a positive impact on the lives they touch.
Pucklich of Pucklich Chevrolet in Bismarck. And when we say you drive, we'll ride with you, we mean we'll be with you every step of the way. For over 34 years, we've known the sale of a vehicle is the first step in making you a customer for life. We're family owned and operated, and we care about our community and the people who live here. So experience the difference a car dealer can make at Pucklich Chevrolet in Bismarck, where customer satisfaction is our number one priority.
Hi, this is Troy from CNC Farms of Donnybrook. We're your registered and certified seed dealer. At CNC Farms, we pride ourselves in providing top quality and a wide variety of seed. We offer forage barley, oats, millet, 4010 forage peas, forage mexes, malt barley, flax, durum, chickpeas, green and yellow peas, spring wheat, winter wheat, alfalfa, pasture mexes, beans, and much more. Online at ccseedfarm.com, your registered and certified seed dealer of Donnybrook. Call CNC Farms, 701-482-7865.
You get the smoothest, most responsive windrower handling ever with the new Speedrower SP Windrowers from New Holland. Your local Northern Region New Holland dealer will tell you that it starts with precise, hydraulically controlled steering. Combine that with the Comfort Ride cab suspension and the patented independent rear axle suspension, and you can increase your speed and efficiency even on uneven terrain. That's smart. See your local Northern Region New Holland dealer about the smooth, responsive handling of a Speedrower SP Windrower from New Holland.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I ain't watching TV today. Bad music can just stay away. If you ain't got anything good to say, then shut your mouth.
We have the 100 line open 24 hours a day for you. It's called our Oasis Petroleum Be the Buffalo line. And it's a time like this when North Dakotans inspire other North Dakotans of just going into the storm, whatever it takes. And that's what the folks at Oasis Petroleum have recognized in the great people of North Dakota. So if you see somebody that's doing something great right now, maybe it's a healthcare worker, maybe it's somebody helping out, working long hours to address this crisis, whatever it is, let them know and give them a shout-out. 855-200-1776. Back with Governor Doug Burgum on What's on Your Mind, 20 past the hour. Kirsten Basler, the State Director of Public Instruction, here in just a little bit as well, so stay tuned for that. Governor, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about bars and restaurants. Some places, movie theaters, are also being asked to close in a number of states, started over the weekend, continuing today with a few more. Do you see something like that coming soon from North Dakota? What would trip that trigger?
And right now we're really asking for individual responsibility. Private sector is so important in our state, and we need businesses to stay open, whether they're selling gas, selling food, selling supplies. I mean, and we really want to say thank you to all those retailers that have kept going and keeping their staffs going and also doing all the smart things that you need to do. But individual responsibility is, if you are feeling sick, don't go out for dinner. You know, don't go to a movie theater. And when you are in those places, again, the social distancing, the CDC says it's, 6 feet. This is not a airborne spread disease. It's not spread through our water system. I mean, it's spread, as they say, through droplets. So it's really about not coughing or sneezing in someone's face. It's about washing your hands, because that can dramatically reduce the transfer on services. So again, practicing good hygiene, but there's, I say a lot of things. I mean, someone asked me, I mean, we're not canceling the fishing season in North Dakota. Get in a boat, by yourself or with some friends, that you know are also healthy. Go to a park, go for a walk, get some fresh air. If people are spending more time at home, maybe this is an opportunity to reconnect with family. I say great time to, take a deep breath and write a letter to someone who made an important impact in your life and share some gratitude. I mean, we have an opportunity to come together as a state and community even stronger coming out of this. It is a disruption versus our normal way of life, but our normal way of life can be pretty hectic sometimes. And so this is an opportunity for everyone. But right now we're letting those private sector businesses make a decision. We know that lots of businesses have more office type work or creating work from home opportunities for people. The state of North Dakota, we're driving that. Thank goodness we made a bunch of changes in our IT capacity over the last 2 years, so we're better able to have state employees be productive working from home if need be. And I know a lot of other businesses have done that as well. So that right now, that's a private sector decision. But if we were to get to a case where we had widespread community spread, our level threshold 3 from the stuff we released last Friday, then we'd start looking at maybe by a community basis, some guidelines on whether or not they should be open. But right now with just one positive case in the state, we're not making any recommendations relative to private sector.
Texter asked the question on whether or not the state convention will be held now that the CDC has asked that groups of 50 or more do not congregate. I assume that's a Republican state.
I would guess the Mandy GOP executive committee, I'm sure, is weighing that new guidance for mass gathering and large events that came from CDC yesterday. I'm sure that they'll be reaching a decision soon. Brent and I have been focused on a lot of other stuff over the weekend, so we'll let some others do that. But certainly that would be larger than the guidance that's been given by the CDC.
Final question for you is unrelated necessarily to the coronavirus, but the problem has been compounded by it right in the middle of this economic challenge. You had the dust up between Russia and Saudi Arabia and the OPEC decision and flooding markets, and the price of oil today was below 30 for a while, which puts it at the low 20s in North Dakota. Would you like to see the federal government do something extreme, whether it be loans or whether it be a dumping lawsuit or just something that is going to backstop this for North Dakota producers?
Well, I think I had said on the call last Friday morning that I thought one of the great things the federal government could do would be to start buying oil and fill up the strategic petroleum reserve. And then Friday afternoon at the press conference, the president said it. So I don't know if he we heard you. Our mind here in North Dakota or whatever. But he said, fill her up, fill her up. You're going to save Americans billions of dollars. And he will.
He heard you, but the only problem is they're buying it at these prices. So that's the tough thing. It doesn't really help. I mean, sell them something, but keep them pumping.
It helps America, and it helps America in the long run. So I hope they load it up. But you know, the real thing we need to do is, win against the virus, because if we can do that, over the next couple months, you know, then you're going to see demand will come back for transportation fuels, and you'll see a rebound. I mean, the real long-term threat would be having an administration that is, you know, anti-energy and, you know, anti-horizontal drilling. I mean, that would be, devastating for North Dakota.
Governor, thanks for the time. We appreciate it very much. Our best to the president. I know you got to hop on that call next, so thanks for the time.
Great. Thank you, Scott.
Quite the operation going on, the federal connection to the state and others. It's really amazing. A lot of decisions have been made. Feels a lot like, obviously, the very challenging time we went through with DAPL, different enemy, but nonetheless, out there. Kirsten Basler joins us now, Superintendent of Public Instruction in North Dakota. Kirsten, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time on a busy week and after a busy weekend for sure. Big question I'm getting is how long will school be closed in North Dakota? Any answer on that yet?
Yeah, as we announced last night, what we're going to do is take 5 days off, gather some more information, gather some data, give our school district leaders and community leaders time to plan, figure out where they are and how they can proceed depending on which community or how many confirmed cases might be in that community by the end of the week. And we'll reevaluate next weekend after these 5 days. And so I'm sure the team, state unified team at North Dakota ND will be meeting this weekend again to see where we're at in the state, and we'll have some decisions this weekend.
What kind of data and information are you waiting for? Don't you have to be able give us a little sense of what you're gathering in the way of that data that helps guide
Absolutely.
Your decision going forward?
Okay, so I think there's several things right now. So, things that change from Friday afternoon to Sunday afternoon, CDC is continually coming out with learning more about how this COVID-19 works. We're looking at what happened in Italy versus what happened in some more controlled environments like China and South Korea. So that data is continually coming in. We're getting data from our healthcare providers about exactly what their capacity is and how long we need to flatten that curve, as they say, and delay that high spike. So collecting data from our healthcare providers. We're collecting data from a couple of our partners across the state, DCN, Dakota Courier Network, working with us, Broadband, the Broadband Association of North Dakota, David Crothers and his crew, and, of course, our NDIT team at the state, trying to figure out exactly what type of access we have.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because,
yep. Okay. And so trying to find out what type of internet access our addresses have. So our students, when they go home, if we would do online or distance learning, would they have internet access, high speed access? The other thing that I think is critically important in these decisions is...
Hold that thought if you would. Kirsten, we're just up against the break here. Got a little interference on the line, too. We'll check this out. Fix it. Come on. Next.
Our region has a deep tradition of supporting conservation, where we're taught to leave a place better off than we found it. We know that our land, our air, and our water are precious resources, which is why the coal industry has been nationally recognized for preserving, protecting, and enhancing our land by reclaiming more than 20,000 acres once mining is finished. That land is used to hunt, fish, and feed the world. That same resourcefulness that's used to reclaim land is now being put to use to capture non-toxic emissions, including carbon dioxide from power plants. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are working to explore geology to store the carbon dioxide safely deep underground, where it will stay permanently. This next-generation technology will not only enhance our nation-leading clean air standards, but protect 15,000 good-paying jobs by using homegrown energy resources. Learn more at www.secureenergyfuture.org/CCUS.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Coronavirus concerns still weighing heavy on investors. On Wall Street, trading was halted shortly after the morning trading began.
Circuit breakers tripped after the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500 both fell by more than 8% just seconds after the opening bell. It's the third time in the last week that trading was halted. At last night's 11th Democratic presidential primary debate, the candidates Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders were asked about their choice of running mates.
There are a number of women who are qualified to be president tomorrow. I would pick a woman to be my vice president.
That's former Vice President Joe Biden answering the question. Seconds later, Bernie Sanders asked the same question, and he replied he, too, in all likelihood, would choose a female running mate. This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Give her a chance to finish her question on the things that they're looking into, and also a question we've had related to non-salaried school employees. Some have been told, according to some callers and texters today, that they wouldn't be paid, and some discussion is going on between the state and the public school districts that would address that. So we'll deal with those both real quickly. Senator John Hoeven joining us next. Kirsten, anything else you wanted to tell me about the data you're still looking at?
Yeah, we do. I think the most important, the critical piece. So the four tiered system that we gave to our school districts to guide them in their decisions about, you know, using the data about how many confirmed cases are in the state, in the community, in your school, is it widespread, is it community spread, that was dependent on some data. And what we looked at is we have 750,000 people in the state of North Dakota, and we had 100 COVID tests run this weekend. That was our max. We had another 11 that came in yesterday, but even still, 111. And we just didn't feel that that was a big enough data set to use to make some significant decisions about congregating our students in these close quarters. And so hoping to get a larger data sample from various communities throughout our state to have some decisions made about what level each of our school communities are at by the end of the week.
And if you have that, for instance, so say there are 1,000 samples and the numbers look the same, at that point you would envision school being back next week?
It would be dependent on a community-by-community basis. Yeah, we would ask them to use that tree based on a larger data sample if we can get that. So that's what we're working on with our healthcare providers.
And real quick, the school districts are getting funds even though they're closed, so there really should be no need not to pay non-salaried employees, should there?
Well, and that's as it stands now, because right now all of our schools are meeting the minimum hourly requirements, so there will be no reduction in state funds from the state. In the situation where there would be extended non-closures, where school districts may not be able to be meeting the minimum hour requirement, again, there's opportunities there, and generally speaking, the school districts have the opportunity to apply for a waiver from the governor, and then he determines those on case-by-case basis. But as we sit today, the funds are delivered and will maintain being delivered even after these 5 days. Our school districts will remain whole with their student foundation aid payments, even including these 5 days.
Very good. Appreciate you joining us on a busy day. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You as well. Governor Doug Burgum, Superintendent of Public Instruction Kirsten Baszler, and now Senator John Hoeven on this coronavirus Wuhan flu national emergency. On what's on your mind. Senator, thanks for the time. Good morning.
Hi, Scott. Good to be with you, and greetings to your listeners. And just a follow-up point, something that the DPI superintendent was saying, you asked about, you know, meeting the hours and all that. If they're out and don't meet the hours, the schools can apply to the governor for a waiver, and the governor can apply to a waiver.
All right. And, you know, that happens
every year. You know, you have school closures due to blizzards and all kind of things. So, you know, when I was governor, I, you know, got those on a fairly regular basis for a variety of different reasons.
Well, we've heard from truckers and others about, you know, concerns about this. We're going to talk with you about the truckers question here in a little bit. I want to start with the fact that you're on your way back to Washington. Obviously, the district work period where you'd be back this week has been canceled to bring you back to D.C. To vote on what the House passed. Have you had a chance to get through what's in the House plan?
No, actually, I've been in D.C. I didn't come back. I stayed here and been working on a variety of things. But we don't have the bill yet from the House. We hope to get it maybe later today. They're having to make technical corrections, and so they still haven't gotten the bill over to us, but we're anxious to get it, obviously. And in the meantime, we've been working on other legislation as well. And I, as you know, I'm on a FOLP, so I work with funding FDA, which is under my purview as chair of Ag Appropriations. So we got them an extra $6 million for their emergency needs. So we're working on a variety of things. We want that House bill, but understand we're going to be doing more than that. It's not just going to be the House bill. We'll move that. But then there are going to be other steps we'll take as well.
All right. Is this like phase one a good triage, but we got more to do kind of thing? I mean, okay. So we're there. Because, I'm amazed the House has passed something that we don't even really know what is in it. And we've had a lot of calls today from people saying, hey, if I can't go to work, do I get paid leave? And I'm like, well, they talked about there being, you know, several weeks of paid leave in this if it's coronavirus related. But I don't know. I'm just assuming that stayed in there. So it's hard to get detailed.
So it's actually phase two, Scott. Remember, we passed the $8.3 billion, which was directly for health care. For example, money's been sent out to the state of North Dakota. They stood up their emergency center and that kind of thing. So phase one was that first $8.3 billion that was focused on battling the healthcare aspects of coronavirus. So this is actually phase two. This goes to making sure that tests are paid for so people don't have to worry about covering the cost of tests. For kids that are at home missing their school meals, to make sure that's squared away. And then, as you say, for anyone that has to stay home because of the coronavirus, it provides their pay. So that, in essence, it provides it to their employer. So any employer, any business of less than 500 employees, then they essentially through Treasury and tax rebates or direct advance if they need it, you know, that their employer is paid so that they can pay that employee that ends up staying home because of the coronavirus. It also provides additional money for state unemployment benefit funds. Because as you're hearing, it sounds like, from your listeners, and as you're saying, we're going to have to make sure there's coverage for people where businesses are closed and they're hourly wage earners, so they're not getting paid.
We heard today from someone about a meeting this morning at Stanford Health with the surgical team telling the doctors on the team that if there isn't work for them, then they would have to take personal vacation time. There would be no special provision for the coronavirus. Is that the kind of thing that would be, rectified in this phase two that you're talking about?
Well, remember, phase two will do some of it, but phase two won't begin it. But then we're going to have to address additional other aspects of it as well. For example, helping businesses that have particular problems, like the airline industry or hotel. Obviously, we're trying to do stuff for the energy industry, which we can talk about, too, right now. So, for businesses under 500, which wouldn't be Sanford, that's part of this phase two. Now, for businesses with more than 500 employees, then we'll have to look and see what's next. But typically, those businesses have paid leave for people who can't come into work. So, yes, I believe it'll be addressed, but I'd have to understand the specifics of the Sanford case, and that may not be covered in phase two. But again, there's going to be additional phases.
All right.
So are you talking about some of the hourly people that work for Stanford?
No, this was the surgical team, is what we were told. They were met with, but I
can't imagine they wouldn't be paid, but obviously we'll look into it. And there'll be more on the healthcare piece, too, because we're also working with the states and cities to make sure that they're standing up whatever capacity they need in the medical area as well.
Texter says, ask the senator about the government having the credit card industry halting interest on cards, as I'm sure people will run them up if they're not getting paid.
Well, again, those, you know, we're going to look at the kind of targeted things that where people are suffering an impact because of COVID-19, either directly or through their employment, then that's where we'll try to figure out how we respond to that, you know, to make sure they get the help that they should have. And there's going to be a number of phases to it, just like you said. Already, student loan, as you know, the president has already, in essence, waived student loan interest through the end of the year. And so there'll be other steps along those lines, and you know, as we work through this.
Texter says, everyone wants to do something to help in this crisis. There's going to be a lot of lonely older people shut in at home. The kids are not in school. Speaking as a grandpa, it'd be a great time to teach the kids how to write a letter. Regular snail mail. It would make my day, just an idea. That's a smart grandpa right there. Doesn't that sound good?
Hey, that's so cool. Right.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That goes back to the thing we cannot lose sight of, Scott. The American people, the strength, the creativity, the ingenuity, the consideration, the American people are phenomenal. They're going to respond. They are responding to the social distancing. They'll figure out all kind of good solutions. You know, this is going to take time, but we'll get through it. When I was governor in 2009 and 2010, we had the H1N1 virus. You remember that?
I do.
60 million yeah. Americans got it. 60 million Americans got it. We had something like 12,500 deaths. We made it through that, and we went through that, and we're going to go through this. We're going to, you know, we're trying to bring that curve down, take all the necessary steps. Obviously, it's government. It's working with our great businesses, but ultimately, it's the American people that get it done.
We have a call from a trucker that came in earlier that I thought was worth playing for you as well, because a different part of the economy, obviously, impacted by all of this. Roll that, Todd, if you would. Okay, Todd, have you got it, Kevin? You find it, let me know when you do. I'm going to ask you another question that came in from a listener here related to the government's response to this and you know, what's happening. It says here that the Democrats have always wanted mandated sick pay for small businesses, and this is their chance, and they know it. So any small business, if they have an employee that's too sick to work, can get full pay for 14 days and 2 to 3 pay for taking care of a family member who is sick for up to 12 weeks. Passed in the House, but of course it will now be debated in the Senate. Small businesses can't afford that, and the Republicans know it. This is why the Democrats, this is what the Democrats have always wanted for years. The Republicans who voted no. In the House, I saw the one who was a medical doctor, and he said, quite frankly, we won't have an economy left then. Your thoughts on that? Obviously, at a time like this, plenty of people are trying to put things in on the response that are things they've wanted to do for a long time. Are you concerned about that?
Well, that's why it needs to be targeted. So remember I mentioned earlier we want to target it, so we're addressing where people are truly impacted by the COVID-19 virus. And then it's temporary in nature. The idea of this isn't, these aren't permanent provisions, but they should be temporary in nature. And I think between targeting and making them temporary, hopefully we mitigate the impact, get people back to work, get our economy on track, and then no, it's not something that would be there permanently.
I'll just summarize the trucker's comment that basically if there's no loads, he's not working. What about us? He's talking about, he's saying, you know, you're hearing a lot about hourly workers and whatnot, but the impacts to the economy are so widespread. How do you target it effectively? And should truckers be in that?
Well, that's why that may be the case, but that's why we're going to have to do this in phases, Scott, as we identify what the impacts are and then try to respond to them in an intelligent way, just like we've been talking, where you know, we are meeting the need, we're doing it in a targeted way, but like you say, it's not something that's a permanent change. We want to get back to normal, right? That's the objective, and hopefully by taking these steps, we can do it sooner.
All right, short break, back with more of our conversation with Senator John Hoeven. The market, by the way, down about 1,800 points, just shy of 8%, getting pounded pretty good at one point today, down... And it was an ugly number. I wrote it down somewhere, but it was not pretty. But it's bounced back off that. 2798 was today's low. That's what it is. 1806 now. More coming up.
Hi, Lacey here from Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Rumor has it, we don't work during the winter. Not true. Fact is, lack of moisture is a big cause of foundation damage. If your doors and windows won't open or close properly, perhaps the drywall around them is cracking, there's a good chance that you have a foundation problem. Don't wait till spring.
Call us today at 701-280-7038 and ask about our winter discount. Precision Concrete Cutters will help you get a jump on spring.
I'm Jim, I'm MDFlagpoleGuy.com, and I invite you to my exciting web and local television series, The Flagpole Guy Chronicles. We're documenting historical events of patriotism all across the Fruited Plains, stories of faith, hope, and love, celebrating the American experience and the American dream. Join me on YouTube, or check your local listings. And thank you.
American-made flags and flagpoles installed by an American patriot. Call Jim at 701-571-FLAG or visit MDFlagpoleGuy.com today.
The Tioga Chamber of Commerce is proud to sponsor programming on AM 1090 KTGO and AM 550 KFYR. Tioga is an active community that offers great activities for families like Freedom Fest, Drone Camp for Kids, Farm Festival, Pumpkin Fest, and Robot Camp for Kids. We have a vibrant downtown Main Street and a brand new community center. Tioga's average median age is 39.6 years old with a median income of $73,000 per year, supporting nearly 140 businesses in the Tioga area. And we welcome new businesses and industries with plenty of active community groups that support the business environment. Tioga also supports local education with technologies like drones, 3D printers, and electronics and coding opportunities to prepare students for success well into the 21st century. Please visit us in Tioga and experience a different point of view. Or for more information, visit www.tiogand.org. That's tiogand.org.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
GMC.com. Your warranty is for a lifetime of protection at no extra cost. Get the details. Find out what 2019s are still left, too. I'll get you a deal on Schwann Buick GMC.com.
Larry Kudlow was on Fox Business a few minutes ago, and he was asked if we're going to be in a recession. Here's what he said.
I'm not going to make any forecast like that. I have said, and I will continue to say, we're going to be challenged. It's going to be tough. Oddly enough, China's numbers for January, February were awful. I get that. And whatever their GDP is going to be down a lot. Our story is very strong through January and February, and we're going to have a much better first quarter. But having said that, we know, as you know, and the stock market is telling us, We're going to be very challenged with the economy, and I just want to take it a step at a time. I don't feel like making any forecasts because, frankly, we don't all understand the impact of all these things or the virus itself. The things that we just don't get and can't model.
All right. So you agree with Larry that you know, there's no sense predicting whether we will or will not be in a recession. But second of all, we do need to realize that some of the answers on the way this ends are really unknowable at this point.
Yeah, you know, Kudlow's, he's a very shrewd economist, been around for a long time. He's doing a lot of, I talk to him and really, I like him. I think he's very sharp. And, you know, that's what he's saying is, look, we're not going to make predictions. We don't know how long this goes. Hopefully with the steps we're taking, we get through it sooner versus later. That would mitigate some of the economic impact. And in the meantime, we take steps to provide targeted assistance again. To not only help people through it, but to try to minimize, well, first and foremost, keep people safe, and then to mitigate some of the economic impacts.
Dana in Bismarck for Senator John Hoeven. Go ahead, Dana. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Senator Hoeven.
Good morning, Dana.
Say, I just want to voice my view on what's been going on with the stock market and whatnot in general. If you look back to like 2000 when it collapsed from the top down and then it went up through 2008 and we had the housing collapse because the people lost all their jobs and then it started diminishing again in 2015 with the prices and the oil and the farming. And right now they've got everything crushed down so tight that what's their driving force? I mean, the market's oversold again, so it was time for a correction. And the coronavirus is kind of, you know, causing a lot of panic buying. But all their panic buying should actually be helping the market.
Well, it actually is in a few places. I saw the big winner today was Clorox. Believe it or not. Of course it is. So there are some things that are up. But to Dana's point, Senator, you know, given the fact that, you know, you had the oil situation with Saudi Arabia and Russia. You had compounding the coronavirus, you know, situation obviously was the perfect storm. But if, I don't know, 4, 6, 8 weeks from now, you have a very different situation. This could come back as quick as it dropped. It's a little different than past economic crises because of the fundamentals of the economy were pretty darn good going into this, right?
Yeah, and things move so fast now. You know, you got the 24-hour news cycle. You got the internet, social media. So I think things are accelerated. I think things move faster. You used to see the market, you know, the market's a leading indicator. The stock market's a leading indicator. So it's anticipating a decline in GDP and economic activity, but it also reacts to uncertainty. Like you said, the oil price war, which we've been working to try to mitigate, a number of factors, but it seems like things move faster. So it seems to go down faster. It may come up faster. You know, again, we know there's volatility there, but you still got to go back to what you said and what Kudlow said is that we have a very strong country and a very strong economy. So, yes, this is going to be disruptive now, but over the long term, you know, we're going to go through it and our country is going to be strong.
Speaking of the oil industry, there has been talk of some type of safety net through this as well. The industry is being harmed by a dumping of sorts. By Saudi Arabia and by what Russia is doing as well. And this is obviously an attack on domestic producers. The president and others have talked about some measures. Anything you see on the table right now that you would support
yeah.
in the way of a relief?
Yeah, I'm really glad that we got to that, Scott, because I've been working on it. And that's such an important industry for North Dakota. It's such an important industry for our country. And so that's, again, why we can't let these short-term impacts really derail what's a vital national security interest for our country. So first thing is Saudi Arabia is an ally. We've helped them out in many different ways on many different occasions. This is not the time for them to get into a price war. They need to knock that off. I talked to the president about that directly. He did call MBS and the conference, and now Saudi and Russia are negotiating. Hopefully they end that price war at this time. We don't need that. Second, the president has already announced that he's going to buy about 75, 77 million barrels for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That helps with the demand issue where demand's way down. And that, of course, is going to be from
American companies. Third, Treasury is looking at deferring income tax payments for like 90 days to help with cash flow. And then also the banks are looking at, additional emergency lending. And the Fed bringing the rate down to almost zero obviously makes that much more affordable. So I'm hoping that those kind of steps help our energy industry get through this. And remember, there's big companies, but there's a lot of small companies out there and a lot of employees, and that our ability to produce energy is a vital national security interest for the long term.
Sounds like good news. On top of a very challenging situation, Senator Hoban, thanks for the time. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure. Thank you.
Help preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins and Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins and Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free, no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.